Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Yes, but you did notice most I might actually order this.
And I mean this, like, I think this is a beer a lady might favor more over a guy.
Ooh.
And I don't mean that.
No, because this lady doesn't.
You're at the wrong podcast for that one. I'm just saying that in general, maybe, but I just
artificial chocolate takes about 4 sips to finally kind of get through that initial, oh my god, what is this taste?
And that's it, it's artificial chocolate in it. It's not even real chocolate.
It's the artificial chocolate.
Yeah.
Like the kind you get in ChapStick.
Yeah.
Or Cookie Crisp.
Yeah.
All right, so one more time, guys. Show of thumbs.
Okay.
It's a mixed bag on this one.
I wouldn't drink it.
Wait.
Keep them up.
Let's get a count.
Wow, Tom, you actually gave it a middle ground.
I didn't say it's horrible. It's just nothing I would
go out of the way.
So there's 8 thumbs up.
Yeah, that's something around
the middle. Down.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall,
it's overall a positive beer.
All right. So again, this is New Belgium's Tom and Jerry's cookie dough. Tom and Jerry in the bar.
Yeah, I'd say okay. I'm good for like one of them.
I would say I would never drink more than one beer.
One of these. Yeah.
It's
bringing
to
a party.
Well, then
pass the
wait. If you won't drink more than one, why don't you give it a thumbs up?
Because Tom, you're a beer.
What's that? No, I haven't introduced our guest yet, but we're just getting going. Beer court. Yeah. Well, rush the show for us. Why don't you?
Sorry.
I mean, you know, we'll eventually get to it.
Are you?
All right, it's time to pull up.
She is not really
so now that we're well lubricated.
All right, let's pull up the verdict. You know, it's second story in a row with Vic in it.
Oh no!
So one morning we were hungover, surprisingly, and I
that never happens.
Yeah, in college I used to live with a bunch of my friends, and I walked out, and Vic was. Having beer with Cheerios in it. He was floating Cheerios in his beer. And I said, what the hell are you doing? And he said, no, just try it. Just try it.
Okay, these regular Cheerios are Honey Nut Cheerios.
I don't even think
was
that
it multi-
Cheerios existed.
I was going to say. No regular Cheerios.
So we, I tried it out, and it was pretty good. And I got to say, this kind of reminds me of beer and Cheerios. So it tastes like good times.
Breakfast
so,
beer.
On charge one of tasting like good times, I find you guilty. Guilty on the first charge. Second charge, being a wussy-ass beer. It pains me, but I am going to have to charge you also with being a wussy-ass beer.
If it does make you feel
what,
any better,
what about,
it is 6%
the charge of,
that's pretty high.
I'd like you to take a look at the percentage
beer of the day.
Yeah, no, yeah, honestly, this is a breakfast beer.
I'll put a third charge in there.
We've got breakfast.
I also find you guilty of being, tell you
dangerous.
What, I find you guilty of being wussy, but I sentence you to being the first drink of the day.
Cheers to that.
Yay!
That was a lot.
This is none of our first drinks of the day.
That is largely a lie at this table.
Yeah, but I'll remember for tomorrow.
No, I doubt you will remember for tomorrow.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's so true either.
Yeah.
For my first beer.
All right, so we have a special guest with us tonight.
Yes, we do.
And let's go ahead and make it up.
No, you're doing it. I told you that.
Actually, I'm going to have Larry do it because Larry, make the introduction.
Fighting with each other.
Okay, so we have a guest guitarist today. And Brian from Lords of the Trident. And you know, I love the band. Excellent band. You should go check them out. They're all over the internet. And, but Baron, I know, but how do you pronounce the Baron?
Baron Torian Hellasar.
Baron Hellasar. Yeah.
Well, Baron, yeah.
Torian Hellasar.
Come on,
Larry.
So,
and we are super happy that he's agreed to join us and help us out today.
Yeah, thank you so much for playing with us.
Thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun.
All right, so I suppose we're going to get down to the real topic tonight.
The brass tacks.
The brass tacks.
Yes, we are. Are we going to start talking about games to get your friends into gaming?
Yeah, games to get your friends into gaming. So
this is when we educate, huh?
maybe teach me something.
It's a loose term.
So again, at the end of the day, like we are a very wide breadth of gamers. We've got a lot of different games we like to play on our spare time. And we have always have those family functions where you're saying, hey, you know, what are you going to do after the meal's done or hanging out? And a lot of us like to play board games. So it's interesting trying to get your family into the fold or friends who might not play as many games as you do. So all of us have kind of come up with different topics and games that we kind of want to cover that might be interesting to people who aren't necessarily regular game players. Things that are fun to play, as well as maybe introduce some of those mechanics that will get them into something a little more in-depth over time. Again, it's worked well for me. So
what's kind of interesting about doing this today is that we did this the first year we were here, the same topic, and I think there may be some changes in some ideas.
Oh, yeah.
As years have gone.
Yes and no. We'll get into that as we get
some people like the old
one.
So
after you watch this one, go back and watch the other one and compare.
All right. So, Larry, you actually get to start this out this evening.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, and actually, that's kind of where I'm at. And so when I first sort of started approaching games with families who aren't family members, who are friends, who aren't really gamers, you know, I usually try to sort of focus on simple, easy to explain, maybe things that don't have structure to them, so, you know, where you don't have to be sitting around a table or anything like that. But then I discovered that, you know, you can actually pull them deeper, quicker with some games if you pick the right game. And here's what I think is really the clue. You gotta know the game left and right. There can be no time to look anything up. But if you know a game that well, you can start pulling people into harder games. So this game, Power Grid, most of you know Power Grid. If you haven't played it, it's awesome. As a general idea, it's got kind of a ticket to ride, kind of a connection. You're building various connections and stuff, but it has a lot of resource management. It's got free market sort of adjustment of how much things cost. So you got to kind of predict what you think the next free market is. So there's a lot of thinking to it if you want to do it fairly well. But I found that non-gamers will play this game. Especially if you're able to lead it and know the rules and, you know, they will play this game. I think there's a couple reasons for that. One, it has familiar elements. I mean, there's, you know, money and stuff like that. So everyone's played Monopoly, right? So I think that there's an element they already kind of understand. So if there's a few things they can key off on, like, oh, I've done that before, you know, and then you just sort of expand on what they kind of already know. I'm actually surprised. And the other thing that I've found that is really great about this game, and even though it's a complex game, it's a six-player game. So you can bring in a lot of players compared to other games. Well, most games top out, you know, a lot of games top out at four, right? And so it's hard to bring in family members at a function when you only have four people, right? It's like, oh, yeah, oh, I'll play. Oh, sorry, you're out. You know, you don't want that. So that two extra players makes a big difference, you know. So so I think higher levels, higher number of players, and you yourself knowing the game really well, you can pull in a complex game and still have a lot of success with it at a family function for non-gamers.
My question on that, so you're right. It's you have to know the rules backwards and forwards, but what about having another player who's really good at the game too? Because I know certain games, yeah, you can know the rules really well, but it helps if you have a couple of really experienced players that can kind of get everybody going.
Everybody's got that cool cousin. You're like, oh man, play this with me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, for sure that would help. You know, I mean, now the one sort of trick to that is if he's just a maven at the game, then, you know, he's just going to beat everybody.
Right, and that's so bad that nobody ever wants to play the game. There
might be a challenge there, you know.
Well, and that's a good point. If somebody's so good at the game that they dominate the game, they can ruin it for everybody else who's playing the game.
But
so,
it's kind of like know your goal, you know. Like, I often play, especially in that situation, friendly games. So, like, because I know that they just made a wrong move, I might say to the person, hey, yeah, I'm not sure you want to do that, you know, and then they're, you know, the inevitable question, well, why? Well, you know, the other ones might come up that's a little better, you know.
Right, but so, that goes back to the GM's responsibility of being a good GM.
Yeah, and so you can bring out, you don't have to stay simple, I guess, in order to...
At the end of the day, like, I saw this game, again, because of, like, you and Ken at that fest a couple, or 2 years ago. And, again, I didn't think the, like, basically the premise is, again, you're operating a power company and you're building different power plants, whether it be on coal or renewable energy and things like that, at different resources at different times in the game cost different
air
amounts.
Power.
Yeah, so...
Ken...
So, but basically, you're trying to generate as much power as possible. And again, like, the premise of it doesn't sound very enthralling. Like, and again, it has some complex rules, but everything comes together so well.
You mean this scientist isn't super sexy?
I know, right? I am not drawn by the box art. But again, once you see somebody playing, I think it really grabs you in, I think, at the end of the day. So if you can get at least one or two other people to kind of get a game going... It plays so well, and again, there's a reason it's won as many awards as it has.
Yeah, for sure, and it's not a short game. I mean, it's a 2 hour investment usually, which is also another usually. Oh, I'm not going to pull that game out because my family members did, but it's intriguing enough that it's not a problem, you know.
All right. Okay, well, Brian, do you want to bring? I know you don't have any specific. Do you want to bring in?
Sure. I don't have any games with me, but from personal experience, the games that I play with my family would be with a pair of in-laws that you know are learning as we go. Typically, Settlers of Catan. Sorry if I'm stealing anyone's thunder here, so I won't go into it. I'll let someone else talk about it. But, Settlers of Catan is a lot of fun. As a word guy who grew up playing Scrabble Bananagrams also, simple but a lot of fun, very easy to get into and get going, so I'll leave it at that.
I love you, Larry.
Tyler, bring the mic close to your lips.
Kiss the mic. I gotta get that taste of good. Larry?
You can pull it down.
Thank you, Larry. I gotta get that taste of cookie dough out of my mouth.
It's not the first time he's had to have a taste out of his mouth.
To be fair, the more you drink it,
the more taste
the less
dough.
The less good it gets.
Thank you.
Because now that I'm like halfway through, it's like a very fake taste.
Yeah.
That was the family. Like, I may just be bitter because it almost killed me.
Yeah, well, that could. So, oh, damn. Yeah, it
got me pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So, Tyler, what was your game?
So I went with the opposite of Larry. I went for something. Simple, because when we think about people who you're trying to get into gaming that aren't playing, for me at least, it's my family. Most of my, pretty much all my friends play games, so it's board games, they all play. And they really won't go for anything. So, like, board games with pieces and things like that, it's something that's going to put them off immediately. They won't be into it. So I went with the Game of Things. Because really, you can buy it, but all you need is a pen and paper. That's all you need for everyone to write down. And basically the concept of the game is there's several statements, something like things you don't give to a toddler or things you shouldn't say to a rabbi. And then everyone writes a response and the person who's reading these off then has to guess who wrote each response. And that's the simple concept.
I like that.
Simple,
idea.
Easy, it's a lot of fun, gets crazy, and depending on your family, maybe a little traumatizing.
A little too revealing at times.
Yes.
You mean not Cards Against Humanity?
Oh, yeah. This one's a little more personal touch. That's the problem.
Yeah, I do like the fact you have to guess who actually put the card out. Because then it's like, oh, you're guilty of that crap. I know
you. And that's not only is
so that's a game mechanic. I don't remember. So we know the apples to apples, Cards Against Humanity. Mm-hmm.
Right. Anonymity.
And so, so... So it has similar things. So you have a phrase, mm-hmm. and then you got to say something about it.
You write
and
down,
then what's the next sort of game mechanic? You have to guess who said that, and then you get a point.
Each round, there's someone who reads off whatever the things you whatever, yeah. And that person then everyone else writes something down as a response, Yeah. They then read them out loud to everyone, and then they have to guess who wrote each one.
Okay, do they get a point if they get that right?
If they get it right, they get a point. If someone is not discovered, they also get points.
Yeah, the last one to be guessed gets 2 points.
So, the person, okay, so, okay.
I think we should play that.
It sounds
like it's just
and so that's the idea. See, you want a game that's going to get people going.
And to me,
and I can come up with things.
With the topic as well, to me, it was more so something not just a game that you'll always play, but something that shows that gaming can be fun, funny, creative, and will allow them to start being susceptible to games in general, to start playing more.
Cool. All right, and again. I have to be with you kind of on the mechanics part. It's something, there are sometimes you with a crowd, breaking up pieces does not work.
Yeah, and on that happy track, I chose something that's super cheap. You can play it as cheap as free. Very, very low barrier to entry, and a lot of fun. It's called Skull. Basically, it's a game that, in this package here, is one of my favorite ones. They give you a set of kind of designed coasters, but you can legitimately just play it with a deck of cards. It introduces some very interesting mechanics, basically where you have people who don't know games at all, kind of teach them some of those like deception or strategizing, but still being very simple. Long story short is everybody gets a hand of four cards. You're going to have three flowers and one skull. Basically, everybody gets to start around by placing a card face down, and then it'll go around turn by turn. People can either up the ante by putting another card down, or they can start a betting phase where saying, oh, I think I can find three flowers out of these piles, or I can find four flowers. And again, what'll happen here is people will get a chance to bet, out-bet each other, but the end of the goal is you get a point if you find the amount of flowers you bet for. Without hitting one of the skulls. So what'll happen is whoever gets the highest bet gets to start searching these piles, and if they reveal the amount of flowers, they get the point. Otherwise, if they hit a skull, they lose the round, and they have to discard a card from their hand. They get taken by another player. So it kind of introduces some really good deception tactics. You can put a skull down immediately and say, hey, you know, I bet two flowers. And so you bet really low, so people try to, like, out-bet you, and then they pick your pile thinking it's safe. Either that, or you can kind of blow yourself up in the face and say, oh, I bet two flowers, and like, I'm going to call your bluff, and then you have to reveal your own pile and blow yourself up. Again, the rules are very simple. You can just search it online. This one is really well done. It's $20 to $25. It's really cheap. And again, if you want, you can just play it with a deck of cards. You just get some face cards and some number cards. You can just look up the rules online. It's very low barrier to entry. It teaches some of the basic mechanics that'll lead into more complicated games if you want people to get play stuff, especially like Werewolf, which will kind of touch base on things like that. Any of the kind of like lying social game, or The Resistance, or Two Rooms and a Boom, which I think are really excellent. But this kind of teaches some really, really great basic concepts of games, and it's a lot of fun.
You know, so what's in the box? You know what? Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say that I know you can play this just with, you know, a deck of cards or something like that, because once you understand the rules or whatever.
Yeah,
but
thematically,
I just find the artwork.
It's a very beautiful game. It is a very, very
and that particular version of it.
Yeah, and in the box again, it's pretty simple. It's a small box, really easy to take with you, which is another big plus. It's relatively small. You basically get about 20 like coasters. They look like beer coasters, but they're very fancy and well done. And again, it's very easy to play.
And there is a chance that you might get more interest with a little more artwork or something special, you know. I mean, you see that skull, it's like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah. It does help.
Yeah, you know, and that's it. Sometimes pretty flashy objects get people into gaming.
It's thematics.
Yes, it is. And you have to take that into account when you're trying to get people to game with you. All right, so, you know, I was a little torn on this because we've actually talked about the topic I'm going to bring up this year again.
The
2 years ago.
Top gorilla in the room.
It is, but there's a reason for it. So originally I was going to talk about this. If you guys don't own the Jackbox Party Pack, buy it.
It's a party starter.
It is a great party starter.
Period.
It'll run on basically any platform you have.
You can run it on Windows, Mac. You can run it on your Fire TV.
And
it's not a board game?
It's a series. I'm just going to bring this up real quick because this was my original topic. And at the end of the day, I changed on this. But if you haven't bought this, buy this game. It is a great, like, it's a party starter.
There are three different runs. Each one has four different games in it. And you, basically, people can log in using their phones. You don't need to download anything. You go to a website, type in a code, and it lets you participate. There's things like trivia, drawing games, Fibbage, which is one of my personal favorites. It's like you have to create fake answers and try to get people to guess them. It's a lot of fun.
But at the end of the day, I'm still going to go back. So I've had two great experiences with, if you've heard of the game before, Werewolf, Ultimate Werewolf, Are You the Werewolf?
Werewolf of Miller's Hollow.
Yes. Because it's really kind of a public domain game, it's a great game. Now, here's the reason I like this game. Going back to down to what Tyler brought up. No pieces, low entry level. Same thing Travis talked about. You don't have to have this.
Little structured seating either.
We were at a chili tasting party, and everyone goes, hey, we should get some gaming going. But they didn't have any games. We got blank envelopes. I wrote down the different characters on blank envelope, handed out. The next thing you know, we had a full game of Werewolf going. And everybody was just getting into it. These were all non-gamers. They were just a bunch of people sitting together who wanted to do something. This is a great game. If you've got a good GM, this game will get people going. We had Friendsgiving this year, which is the kind of Thanksgiving for random people. Travis bought his. Now, Travis has got like the definitive Werewolf collection.
He's
got like Ultimate with every expansion. I mean, all his cards are laminated, so they're good for drinking with. I mean, he's got this set to go. But, just the same, you could do this with a deck of cards. And Friendsgiving, same thing, a lot of non-gamers there. Well, you crack that out, you got a good GM going on it, you start it up, then pass it off to another GM, and the game went flawlessly, and people really get into it.
I agree with you. I mean, I had a great experience over the summer where we were sitting around playing Werewolf over a giant bonfire.
See that, and that's it.
That was it. That was the only light was this giant bonfire.
And here's the thing: not that games like Power Grid aren't bad, but this is the kind of game you can whip out around a campfire and get a game going.
It's definitely got that kind of you're bringing them into gaming and really almost more LARPing. Because you're trying to cast a fake face or a role.
And that is kind of what I wanted to bring up. There's a LARP element to this.
What's a LARP?
You're the wrong kind of asking.
Okay, four of the non-gamers on the show. That's live action role playing. And because you're taking on the character of a villager or of a werewolf, or there are special characters as well, the seer, witch, blah, blah, blah. You actually get to kind of play that role out a little bit, too. And you know something? The more people get into those roles, if they really get into that whole LARPing aspect of the game, it makes the game...
Is it wrong to say you can dominate as a little girl?
You can dominate as a little girl.
I was going to say, this is my, like, all-time favorite game because it's, like, it's a lot of fun. It's easy. But then, yeah, you kind of get to, like, I don't LARP personally, but I do like to act. So it's, like, a little bit of, like, a... like tricking your friends almost, and like the more you know your friends, like the harder it is because you know like their little like tics and weird things that they do, you know.
But when you get into a large group, and we play groups where we've had 30 people lined up playing this game.
Okay, side point: not everybody with a beard is a werewolf. Just so you know.
And I am always the fucking villager.
I was just gonna say, no, Tom is always the werewolf. Okay, I just want you to know.
Kill him.
No beard, kill him.
And I always dominate.
But again,
been in games where like, he's the werewolf. Look at him.
He looks like a werewolf.
What?
It's just your face, man.
But no, but that is the beauty of this game. And people get into it that much, where they literally start looking at how people physically look and start making judgments like that. You know, he kind of looks like a werewolf. Yeah, let's hang him.
I think it's how much they trust you, really. I mean, because Larry's a wild card, and it's best to kind of get the wild card out.
He's gonna screw up my game, man. Like,
yeah,
we're playing the same team. I mean,
he plays games very well. Yeah, he's a good game player, and that's always a big threat.
All right, so Rob. All right, what you got for us?
I got something that actually has not been released yet to the general public. We learned about this at GameholeCon, and this I fell in love with it right away. It's not It's definitely not a hardcore gamers game. It's a good one to play with your friends and family. It's called Negative Nancy, Positive Pete. And the basic idea of this game is they make a statement. Don't worry, I'll read a couple cards for you so you get the idea. And if it's generally a positive statement, you try and say something negative about it. If it's generally negative, you try and say something positive about it. And then every round, somebody's chosen as the judge. You choose the first judge, and then it goes around in a circle. And they determine whether you won the round or not. And then whoever gets the most points at the end of the game wins. It's a very simple game. There's some examples. Hey, Larry.
Oh, God.
What's Larry, that? you want to talk about what your positive on teen pregnancy was?
Well, we kind of...
No, no.
Do you want to talk about it?
I'm going to go with no.
That's probably a good call, Larry.
Please, Larry, let me help you.
Refresh your memory.
Larry's positive on teen pregnancy was empty nester by 30.
Oh, wait, I stand by that.
So we actually met the authors of this game at Game Old Con. And what was their general release date on this? I think they're talking this summer, this coming summer.
Yeah, they were talking this summer. I'm not 100% sure, but they have started backing up some of the advertising on it. So that's a big deal. So you will see more of it. And some examples is...
Go ahead.
Do I want to do this one?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Well, do I do not? Jesus?
Yeah.
Jesus is here.
All right, we'll take a couple samples.
Is Jesus positive or negative?
Oh, wait, well, no, that's up to you. No, you can
always
do it.
No, you cannot.
Oh, wait, oh, it's
it would be, say something negative about Jesus. Would anybody like to commit sacrilege?
Oh, we can all
hear something like this.
Tyler would like to commit sacrilege.
He wasn't a super soccer player.
I was just saying, he was hung like this.
That's racist, not sacrilegious.
I'm going to go with the M&Ms. All right. Okay.
Cleaning up all those nasty stains.
All
anybody,
right.
Anybody else want to commit sacrilege today?
Well, what was the question? I missed it.
Name something
There's not a question.
Bad about
negative
Jesus.
Negative about Jesus.
Name something negative about Jesus?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I mean, everything that came after it.
that's kind of an easy one. Hey, guys.
Yes.
Hey.
That was just a little
a
bit
seat.
Mean.
You still have to hand
up. Yes, we'll get them some wrappings as we get going here.
All right. All right, so this is from 3 to 10 players. And, it's pretty awesome. You'll probably hear more of it on our website. This is by Joe Dickinson. He doesn't actually have a company yet. But it looks really good. It's just basically cards, a couple pads of paper, and a pencil.
That's another thing that's great, too. Again, the bigger the game size is always a big bonus.
Yeah, you know,
a lot of people have to sit out.
And that's the cool thing about Skulls, too. Again, you can get a fairly large group
playing.
Yeah,
werewolf things like
that. Or werewolf, or, you know, when you're doing a game where you're trying to get friends into gaming, if you can have a large crowd playing and control it and keep it going.
Because what's going to happen, you're going to get like 3 or 4 people who are like, okay, yeah, I'll try this with you to humor. And then everybody else is like, oh, I want to join in now. Like, one round in.
Yeah.
And by the way,
after the game started.
This is the rule set.
Very easy.
I mean, so this is easy.
Yeah.
You can get anybody to play this game.
And thank God for simple rule sets.
All right, how about it, Laura? Sorry, I totally cut you off.
You kind of did.
Yeah, you were.
I was like ready. I was ready to pass.
You just walked all over me on that.
So I pick a code name. Sorry, I pick code names. So this is a game that most games that I pick up are because of Travis.
Thanks,
let's,
Travis.
Let's be honest.
You made me spend so much money.
Right?
When it comes to board games, it's kind of hard to get into certain things because there's so much out there. And sometimes you buy things and they're so complicated or they're hard to get into. And so a lot of times if we have a party or something, Travis will bring a new board game and that's how I get into them. This particular one, Travis brought to a like camping trip that we had over the summer.
With bees,
yep.
Wait, I was just going to say, did you bring the bees to the camping trip?
No, they were there. They came
the
to the cabin.
The
host
came.
They came to the cabin. Bees? This was a game that even Travis hadn't played yet. So,
I owned it for like 2 years.
I
played it at the con I got it at. Like, oh.
So he had brought it and he opened it, like we had to open all the packaging, and it was like such a simple concept that we all pretty much caught onto it right away. But it was like the level of difficulty really depends on who is the one like giving the clues. So what it is you get a bunch of names. So the GM of the game or the team captain of the game has to give clues to get their team to guess who the spies are by guessing the different names. So depending on, I was really bad at it. Like when I was the team captain, I was really bad at it. So because of that, like my team had a really hard time guessing what our clues were. So, but it was like a simple concept. It was really fun. And that's pretty much all I have to say about
that's
it.
Yeah, it's again, basically you'll have a table set out and you'll have a grid of words. So whoever is the leader of the red team and a blue team, they're going to basically try to connect certain words on the grid. So if you have like green and leaf on the table, you can say tree two. And that would mean that, hey, you're going to try to link those two words together.
Could you say Pokemon?
It's a weak type.
Yeah. Pokemans?
Much more of a fire type man myself. But yeah, but basically the spy master's trying to give out clues so the teammates can find out who each other are. On the table. So you're trying to get them to guess the right words. And basically, you can accidentally guess an opponent's word, which will give them points. Or you can, there's an assassin on the table, which means you immediately lose the round. So you have to be careful about what words you choose on the table, because, again, it could pertain to the word that's going to blow you up on the table. So.
Or like me, I mean, as the evening progressed, we got drunker and drunker, obviously. And so I would always be like, you know, tree two. And really there was like five different words on the
that
table.
Pertains
like, it pertained to tree. And I'm like, oh crap, I didn't think of that. So you really have to
And then it gets down to, it gets to some really good table banter too. Yeah. Because like, you're like, no, this totally applies to that. You're totally wrong.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, that doesn't make any sense. What's wrong with you?
What would Laura think of when she thinks of trees? You know, like you're kind of like trying to do the psychology of it. So it was a lot of fun. And a game that was really easy to get into because, like I said, none of us had really played it before. None of us were experts. And you could just really jump into it quickly. Matthew, all you.
It's all you, Matt.
Because you know Matt totally needs something to amplify his voice. I don't.
Oh,
damn, that's sexy. It is.
It's the NPR
section.
So indeed.
Sexy NPR, you don't
know.
We've converted to NPR show.
Welcome to National Public Radio. This is my favorite time of year.
That's a copyright.
This is when I bring, sorry, I fell into an Alec Baldwin thing for a second. So the game that I picked is Suro. It's one of my favorite games because it's just a really simple game to set out on a table and start playing. The rules are quite simple. You lay out the board. Everyone puts their piece at one of the starting lines on the edge of the board, and everyone gets a set of tiles, and there's a stack of tiles that people pull off of as the game progresses. And each of these tiles have little paths on them. And when you set a tile down on the board in front of your character, and your character follows that path. Now, you can accidentally kill yourself by putting a tile down, because if you go off the board, you're out of the game. So there's a bit of strategy to it, but it's a very simple game to learn, because really all you're doing is going, now where is this going to put me? Okay, let's see what happens. And you set down your tile and your character moves. And it's a lot of fun, especially playing with like 4 to 6 players. It can go up to 8. But it's really fun to just sit down with a group of people and try and run each other off the board, but in a very calm and organized way. It's just a really fun game, a really easy one to learn. It's one of my favorites to break out with like my family.
Maximum number of players?
Eight.
Well, so pretty good. Players, actually.
Yeah, no, you can do quite a bit of players with this. It's usually best with between 4 to 6, because otherwise the board can get a little clogged really quickly, but it does do up to 8 players, and it does 8 players pretty well.
Cool. Well, I'm going to, before we start the next thing, this is, well, just a second.
Wait, we got two left,
and you got to let time out.
Time out.
He wants a break between
the second. No, here's the reason I'm breaking this. So,
For those of you who don't know, Ben's been on the show since the very first episode.
Episode one.
This is his last official episode with Guys, Games, and Beer.
Live episode.
He will be Skyping in from time to time.
We only tortured him for like 5 years.
Yeah. But this is his. This is the last show he's going to be doing with us live. No, I shouldn't say that. We hoped he will sneak in from time to time and do events with us.
It's like Stockholm Tiger.
Yeah, exactly. He'll keep coming back. He'll keep coming back. We're not going to let him get away that easy.
What are you doing? Where are you off to? For those stalkers out there.
I'm going to Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Because he hates us.
Yeah. And I hate the snow. And doing the War of Northern Aggression Part 2. And I'm going to take him to South again. Okay? We're going to win it again. Win it again.
And he has two rooms. So, if anyone wants to go visit. I've already invited myself. So.
You did invite yourself?
I
haven't even moved in yet. And you're already inviting yourself.
All right, so Ben, you have the mic.
I'm phoning in this episode. I'm just here for the beer. I did not come up with a game to bring gamers in, non-gamers in.
Leave it to Ben and not do this whole thing.
not even trying that hard.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that Ben is leaving the podcast like he came in.
I was just going to say
that.
Just drinking everybody else's beer.
And drunk as piss.
I'm not drunk. I only had a bottle of champagne.
And 2 beers.
That is probably the most unique thing, that you just drink a bottle of champagne like the rest of us drink
the show.
All the time. Yeah, just a bottle of champagne, like every other normal person on Earth.
Moments like this, only on Guys, Games, and Beer, folks. Only on Guys, Games, and Beer.
Quality programming.
Quality rambling. There you go. And I'm glad that we set me and Matt to each other during the episode. The two people
sound exactly alike on the microphone.
It's true. If you're not watching, our voices are just going to run together.
It's so good.
That was the idea.
Yeah.
That's why I did that, you know.
Okay, quiet down, Matt Demons.
Matt Demons.
So, Mal?
Let's go this long haul for Mal.
This
is as far as I can go. Splendid. This truly is so precious.
Cheers.
Pre-planning again, only at Guys, Games, and Beer. By the way, there's no way that should reach because they are attached at the same point.
And we are professionals. I'm sure they've done something.
It's
stuck
on
a beer somewhere.
Hey, Mel. I'll be your hand away, Mel.
I was forced to come down.
Shut
up,
camera.
That guy is so into that jewel. I'm playing part of a tall redhead today.
Except she's not punching me.
She was typecast.
Wait, it's
our use your imagination.
Everybody else is tall.
Shut up. Join the club. There's a line that starts over there.
You have to be this
short. I was like, you
ankle tall.
I was like, I think she's average height.
Was that the autograph sign?
A?
So excited.
There's low hanging
fruit. So what is your game?
So when I first heard this topic, we had talked about gateway games, and I immediately thought of games that got me into gaming. I took it totally personally in it. It was actually a fun trip, and I encourage everybody to do this because it was really fun to think back on games that got me into gaming, got me to appreciate gaming from, playing Clue when you were a little kid, and like we were talking about pretending you're, Colonel Mustard, no, General Mustard?
Colonel Mustard.
In the conservatory.
I was
with the candlestick.
Yes. He was drummed out of the military before he could make general.
But, all those games you played when you were a kid.
Candlesticks seem so inefficient.
That gave you an appreciation for gaming, whether it was tabletop or console gaming when they first came out. And that's where my brain went first. But then when I heard what the topic actually was, my first thought was apples to apples, because that's the game that my family pulls out when you've got that mix of generations that they do not understand gaming, and it's fun. But then I thought, that's just such a boring game. At the end of the day, it really is the game you pull out when
nothing else works,
right? But that got me thinking about things like Marrying Mr. Darcy. Because that's a fun game. Like it's pretty accessible.
Justin likes that game.
Love that game.
pretty complicated.
You just are sad because you didn't get to
Justin
marry Mr.
Justin did very
Darcy.
Well.
Just suck it.
He's got his brother's
he did. Now it's part of his nothing
else.
He's an old man.
He's just disgruntled. Anyway, but that's accessible from a different perspective, like literature. So somebody who doesn't know gaming and they don't understand anything else about gaming, it has a different angle to it, if you will. But that got me thinking about this game, Splendor, which is the game I ended up choosing, because every time I brought this game out, people are immediately attracted to the mechanics of the game. So the chips are these gem pieces. You're a merchant. You're trying to gain gold or gems to gain profile to nobles and attract nobles and get more points and win the game. Every time I brought this game out, anybody, from my nephew who is just into football, goes, oh, that looks cool, what's that game? He wants to touch, they're very kind of heavily weighted, they're nice.
I think they're probably 11 grams.
They're very
chips.
Hefty.
All right, so 11.5.
But anyway,
it makes a difference. It really does.
It's kind of a simple game from that perspective, but it's fun. And every time I bring it out, I've never seen anybody not buy it after they've played it. So I think it's a good gateway game for a game that, because I thought also apples to apples, you go into the game aisle at Target and you buy apples to apples. You don't really peruse the game aisle, or you may not go to your local gaming store. Whereas this game is going to pull you into and to learning about other games, and that's really, the hallmark of a gateway game.
The game itself also has some really great mechanics. Again, mm-hmm. It's a great intro to like deck building games and things like that. You know, again, people really like Dominion or things like that, or Legendary, or things that are much more involved. But that game has some really, really great mechanics to it, and it introduces some very good stuff to people, and it's a lot of fun to play.
Sort of deceptively. Complex.
Yeah,
are really simple.
Yeah, you explain the premise to somebody. Again, you introduced it to my fiance, and she absolutely loved the game. And again, I hadn't played it. I saw it looked like a European style game, but again, until you see somebody play it, I mean, it's very, very cool.
The other thing I note about this game, it's one of the quietest games you will ever play.
We're just all thinking.
It's so quiet. Everyone is completely focused on what the strategy is and what cards people are taking and what profile they're getting and prestige. So
if you want to quiet your party down.
Seriously.
Unlike Werewolf.
That will amp your party up.
Maybe threatening violence.
Yeah, threatening
as well.
Violence.
Sorry, yes.
So that's my game.
All right.
So, are we ready?
Well, let's do a little musical interlude and then do the raffle.
That sounds lovely to me.
Yes.
I believe it's time for the blues.
Can I do a quick throw?
No, I need to do a quick throw.
So, I had a bonus game that I wanted.
You gonna throw a bonus game in?
Yeah.
All right.
I want to talk about.
Welcome
Goblin
to Larry
stole
Davis
my
Overtime.
Chicken.
Oh, Goblin stole my chicken. This is a good one.
It is a friend we met at GameholeCon a few years. Great.
That's Troy.
Game designer. And Tony?
Troy. Tony?
Names are hard.
Tony the Tiger?
We learned that about me earlier.
Yeah.
Names are hard.
All right, so Troy.
And he came up with this game, and it's a really good party game. It's not the... Now, opposite of what I talked about earlier, it has that sort of simple game mechanics and that. But it is higher players, so you got six players. And basically, everybody's got five chickens, and goblins come out, and you can sort of push the goblins to other places to avoid attacking
you. It's a screw your opponent.
A little screw your opponent, yes.
I succinct this to one sentence. It is a race to the bottom. You're trying to lose last. Everybody's losing.
We
like,
did this.
You're
going to
be on the top of the heap if you lose last.
Where Travis was the only loser of six
players. We had six players, five winners.
I was five winners.
Everybody had no. Basically, long story short, is you have a farm of chickens and they're fenced in. The goblins will kind of keep hitting you, they will take your fences away. Once your fences are gone,
they'll start eating your chickens.
What's the first? Whoever loses first, the game is over. So you lose your chicken. You lose your last chicken. The game's over. Everybody, whoever has the most chickens and fences left, they're the winner. Everybody had no fences.
And you can champion other people. So basically, if the guy who's in the lead is trying to take you out, other people are going to throw in because they don't want to
lose.
Yeah. They don't want to lose.
So again, like, it's like, okay, oh, he's about to win. Or like, you know, I've only got one chicken left. He's like, okay, stop him from losing because otherwise I'm not going to win. So you have to take out the person who's winning. Yeah. So what had happened is, like, legitimately, all of our fences were gone. Everybody had all but one chicken. They're like, oh, Travis, here, have a gobbler. I'm like, oh, I can't protect against that. All right, everybody else has one chicken left, and I have no chicken, so I'm the only one who lost.
So everybody.
Everybody won.
Not every game. I have played it since. Not every game works out that way. Sometimes there's only two. I've had single winners. You know? So it actually ends up balancing pretty well.
Yeah.
And part of the plug is, this is a GameCraft. So, available on GameCraft.
Yeah.
So, which is a wonderful venue. You know, if you do some exploring on GameCraft, you can come up with some really neat games.
For finding really new, unique games, GameCrafters is a really good site for that. Troy publishes a lot of his stuff on there. And I gotta say, anything by this guy is amazing. His games are great.
No, sir, I'm making a good game.
All right, why don't we do our little musical interlude? Right. And then we're gonna do our raffle. All
right.
Woo-hoo.
Stuff and things. All right.
Beer.
Yeah, we gotta include a picture. Still bleeding.
That is totally disgusting.
A stitch or two on that.
So I get to talk while we're presenting up for a second. So I actually am a non-gamer.
Blasphemy! That is blasphemy!
No,
wait. Another hand went up there. Another hand also.
But here's the deal. So, like, I am Mr. Denise's other half. I call him Mr. Denise. You guys know him as Drunken Larry.
Larry the Steadfast.
Mrs. Larry. So
like, here's the deal. Power Grids. So I think one of the things that when I was listening to you guys talk about this topic is, you know, being able to know your audience and your goals of what you want to happen, like at the party or that gathering, is really important. And the reason being is that I grew up playing Clue, and that was a bad experience for me. I know.
So sad.
I know.
Oh, that is kind of
part cheesy. Bad experience.
Also sad.
I know. I've got baggage. I have gamer baggage. And so, this is one of the things that has been very sad for Mr. Denise.
Denise is your uncle?
I know.
Killed with a rope?
No.
In the library?
Make long story short.
But Power Grid...
Hey, don't tease people that play games with you.
No, that's true. That has a lot... So what he just said, not teasing people who play games with you is really important because psychologically that really screwed me up. Pretty bad.
You lost all your games, didn't
you? My family and I should not play games together. Like Parcheesi and Euchre? No. Way too much baggage. So when he brought, the complication of Power Grid wasn't the hook for me. It was because of the fact that I'm a journalist by day. I was writing about power. I was narking on the coal company. So I was like, Power Grid, yeah, let's do that, right? So I think.
Yeah, you like to keep the cake. All right, let's do the song.
You want me to do the song now, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Doing the song. All right, do the song. All right, ready?
One, two, three, four.
Got the gaming blues. Heroes out there playing Halo 2. My internet's down, I got no light. I don't know. It's always ringing, it's your night. the gaming blues. Leave me home to play me doomed to level up on my own. So baby, baby, please come home.
All right, next one. Another pint glass. Pages. This is actually perfect considering the topic that you guys have had today about being able to bring in non-gaming family and friends into gaming itself. This is actually a great way to do it. Instead of 400 pages, we pared everything down to a 30-page book, everything you need to run, character sheets, character creation, spells, weaponry, Mon Man, and even a DM section. So 30 pages, very simple, 3 stats. You'll be playing within an hour, whether you've played 20 years, whether you've never played before. So
that's like every game you guys publish are pretty like easy.
We do.
And that, hence the reason Pick Up and Go Games.
Pick Up and Go Games, simpler is better. We also have our card game. We've just released our latest expansion for that, but it is a non-collectible modular card game. So we are here all weekend. Come on up and see us. Check us out on our website, pickupandgogames.com.
Love the artwork.
That is the newest artwork.
That's awesome.
Isn't that beautiful?
Great.
I love it. So what we're doing is we are going to give away 3 packs of dice and the core book, and each of these come with a 20% off coupon. Come up and see us or go onto our website and get 20% off any of our anything we've got there. So. All right, so let's give away some good stuff. Oh, and where's Ben? We're going to miss you, Ben. Okay, first one goes to last 4 digits, 7189.
7189!
164.
Last four digits, 7139.
39.
Facebook friend.